I shall leave you as you left me, as you left her. Marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Welcome to Men in Charge. I'm Tony Flynn.
And I'm Kevin Decker. Welcome to the program today. It's important to point out, I think, that this program can technically be heard in parts of Canada.
In parts of. In the less frequently washed
right.
parts.
And I think also, ironically, the parts that would rather not hear it are the ones that can hear it.
So. Yeah, right. It's almost ironic, if that's what ironic meant.
And of course, what's important about that is today's episode title, Canada, America's Scotland. I think that everybody can see the geographical resonances of that, but the political ones, maybe we need to talk about a little bit.
Well, we could, but first of all, I think that if England gets a Scotland, America, especially the new America, is entitled to a Scotland.
That's right, and maybe a double helping of Scotland.
Right, and we've got more Scotland than they do. Just as we observed a few episodes ago, America has North Dakota and North Carolina. Korea only has one, North Korea.
That's right. There's only
so we've
one
got
North
them
there.
Beat, too.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. And it was a good point that you just mentioned, that, that our Scotland is so much bigger than England's Scotland.
Bigger, more people.
Right.
Taller, better looking.
We've got Yukon territories in ours.
We've
and
got
they
French
don't.
People.
Yeah. And our Canadian Scotland people don't want to break away from the new America like the other Scotland.
Right. They were willing to be absorbed economically and soon, if we do things right in the White House, politically as well.
Yeah. I think it would be great. Two vice presidents, one for the new America, one for Canada. Right. America,
yeah, I
Scotland.
Think that would be one. But definitely underlings. I think the Canadians will go along with that. I think they're looking forward to their new America overlords.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly right. There's so many benefits that we enjoy in the new America that they would like.
Right. For example, their lives aren't going to be cluttered with health care. They won't have to go to the doctor as much as they do now.
That's correct.
They won't have to
worry about that.
Yeah.
They'll be able to enjoy M&Ms instead of the dreadful Canadian M&Ms Sixlets, which are, if you've ever had them, you wish that you hadn't. They're terrible. They're terrible.
We're going to be cleaning up Canadian culture pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, sanitizing it and cleansing it.
They can be a little bit more American, a little less Canadian.
Yeah. You know, Tony, it occurs to me that we've already set out the template for this with your Emily Wellingtonford sketches.
That's right.
And we haven't heard from Emily for a while. That's cool.
But we will. We will.
I'm sure we will. But, you know, Emily, I think, would go for this because she would say, where is the center of raw economic power? That's where Canada needs to be.
It's mining. There'll be a lot more mining. Clearing away the detritus of forests. So there's so many resources to be exploited up in Canada. They're letting it go to waste, which is why they're turning their government over to the new America.
That's right. You know, it occurs to me with the mining, you know what really pumped a lot of money into Canadian and American economies back in the 19th century? Railroads. Why haven't we built new railroads in years, decades?
We might need to build some railroads, if only to carry the coal. Because I understand the Canadians have been hoarding coal, and they feel guilty about it. Again, that's why they're surrendering their nation to the new America.
And
thank you, Canada.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
So again, you know, as we've been emphasizing and people have been writing in to thank us, all of our episodes today have some sort of connection to Canada or Scotland or Canna Land, which
or unrelated subjects.
Yeah, or unrelated subjects. So yeah. they're tied together for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, it's time to strip away people's anxiety about what's coming up in this episode.
Yeah.
Kevin, why don't you start us off?
Sure. Well, we haven't heard from Oswald Spellman for a while, but he's been out there making money in the New America. And his life lesson for today is on pleasures not available to the rest of you, something that we in Men in Charge know much about.
Right, because we, Kevin and I, know so many pleasures unavailable to the rest of you.
That's right.
When you are a man in charge, people turn things over to you, their possessions, their countries.
They trust you.
As they have ended up doing to whatever consequences they've suffered, that's not our problem.
Right.
So Oswald Spellman will have some advice there. After that, we move to a brand new segment, The Adventures of Sky High Man, Part 1.
This makes sense to me, Tony, because Marvel and DC have been making so much money out of superheroes. Why shouldn't we start our own franchise?
We're going to, and let me say that franchise will end here. So we're going to...
We begin it and we will end it.
We will put a stop to it, just like birtherism. But Sky High Man is the story of a feckless, young, drunken, rich dog food heir. The women around him, because he's a passive wad of tissue, the women around him plan his future that will take him sky high. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. After that, we have a message from our sponsor. Folks, we know that it's been increasingly more and more difficult with the advancements in alarm technology to break into your neighbor's homes to get things that, let's face it, are rightfully yours.
You've been eyeing them avariciously for some time.
Yeah. So Midnight Raider, our sponsor today, is going to let you know about their packages of products and services, most of which are police surplus, if I remember.
Because we can get them at a discount.
Right. That will allow you to make those wild dreams come true.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
Right. Get your neighbor to share his possessions with you.
Right.
After that, we move on to, their people have been calling out for a return to disgruntled Belgian talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, Didier Vondage abuses the listeners, this time a surprise celebrity guest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right, you guessed it, Jared Kushner calls in for help because of Didier Vondage's knowledge of Europe-y things.
Now, I remember from listening to the segment before we aired it, Tony, that the caller denies being Jared Kushner, which is surprising because nobody in the New American presidential administration would do something and then deny it.
Right. People are always coming clean with that administration.
Truthfulness.
He does acknowledge that he is the president's son-in-law.
Oh, that's true.
But he will not admit to being Jared Kushner until, you can find out if it is the real Jared Kushner.
Now it's time once again for Life Lessons with Oswald Spellman. Today's life lesson is on pleasures not available to the rest of you. Wait, did I read that right? Oh, yeah, I see I did. So everything must be okay. Here's Oswald Spellman.
You know, if you're like me, and thank goodness for me, most people aren't like me, life is good today because of the simple things. In the New America, we say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays or Have a Delightful Kwanzaa, whatever Kwanzaa is. We also enjoy relief from taxes and regulations, which, let's face it, we're bringing everybody down. Or at least everybody making upwards of six figures. Yes, it's the simple things in life, convenience and comfort, that have made the New America great again. Some of my listeners might say, yes, comfort and convenience, not to mention family and friends. But I've decided not to mention family and friends because, frankly, my family are losers and my friends all owe me money. That's where the love of my life comes in. You may have already taken advantage of the services of my payday loan operation. Now with a new location at Spruce and Vine, right next to Vape Mart. If so, congratulations. You've been the beneficiary, my detractors might say victim, of the least predatory loan rates allowable by law. But my dedication to comfort and convenience doesn't stop there. Now every Spellman's payday loan has an annex saloon featuring off-track betting. And that's exciting. Exciting for you because you're going to save time and effort taking your soon-to-be hard-earned cash from the clerk's window and, inevitably, losing it in our luxurious off-track betting saloons, now with less diluted spirits and luxury recliners in rich Corinthian leather. And it's exciting for me because I'll be enjoying pleasures not available to the rest of you in my soundproofed back office. Some of them are oysters. Look, let's be frank. Like you, I used to be a poor schmuck whom the machine regularly ground up and spat out every payday. But with entrepreneurial initiative, enthusiasm, and now whopping great corporate subsidies in the form of tax breaks, deregulation, and government kickbacks, I've really made something of myself. Just ignore the bleeding heart naysayers who claim that you've got a trillion to one chance of striking it rich in the new America. After all, somebody has to be that one in the trillion to one odds. Why not you? So, scratch, bite, and clamber your way past your friends and family clustered around the neighborhood trash can fire, and come on down to Spellman's Payday Loan and Off-Track Betting Saloon, where our motto is, "What else are you doing on a Sunday morning?" I'll be glad you did.
Yes, you're listening to Men in Charge, and no, you can't be upgraded to Men in Charge Plus.
And now, listeners, let your minds swirl back to your childhood, to the days of longing and failure, when you dreamed of becoming a superhero more powerful than anyone could possibly imagine. A superhero who smote fascists and communists and bullies of every stripe, especially that kid named Butch who used to wait for me in the bushes by the school. Damn that radio punishment collar. Must stick to... script. Okay, back to our story. Now let us turn our radio eyes to one man with a vision, Wendell Wendy Henderson, grandson of his billionaire grandmother, Charlene Charlie Henderson, the founder and CEO of Henderson Dog Food with Additives Corporation. Let us go now to the sprawling Henderson Mansion in Upper Lower Heights, where Grandma Charlie is trying to rouse her grandson, Wendy, from his whiskey-soaked slumber.
Wendy! Wendy, wake up! It's almost 6:30. The sun will be up soon. You have to stop wasting the day like this. You're not in college anymore, sonny boy.
Oh, Grandma Charlie, I just got out of bed 15 minutes ago. I had a long, hard night revising my new business plan with some college friends.
Business plan? What business plan? Wendy, weren't you just out drinking with those college friends of yours, letting them take advantage of you? Aren't you the one buying all the drinks, paying out of that appallingly large allowance I give you?
Well, you raised me to be generous and think of others.
No, I didn't. I raised you to think of others as a means toward your larger financial ends.
Okay, I guess I forgot that second part. Also, I have a headache, but I was working on a business plan.
A business plan for what, Wendy?
Well, you've completely rattled me with your hostile questioning, and I feel sick from my late-night business plan work, so I forget. Also, I'd like you to go back to calling me Wendell. There's something wrong about you calling me Wendy, though I can't put my finger on it right now.
Well, Wendy, that's a pretty unconvincing defense.
But...
Don't make it worse, Wendy. So let's negotiate here, by which I mean I'm going to negotiate you into a corner. You'll come up with a plan by the end of the week for your future. A real plan. One that won't embarrass the Henderson Dog Food with Additives Corporation. Or I'll make a plan for you. Queequeg's Coffee needs a new junior assistant unpaid barista intern, for instance.
Okay, okay. I'll come up with a plan, but what day is today?
Thursday.
Fine. That gives me until... Let's see...
Tomorrow! It gives you until tomorrow, Wendy!
Or Wendell.
A brief 2 hours later, and we find young Wendell in his mansion's basement bar, busying himself with his first cocktail of the morning. He's joined, as is his custom, by his family bartender, Bonnie, along with the Henderson Dog Food with Additives Corporation's only helicopter pilot.
I've never been a family bartender before. I never knew that was an actual job, but I like it.
Please, Bonnie. Not quite so chipper. Drop it down to perky, at least.
Your problem, Wendy, is that you lack character.
It's Wendell. Now, who are you again, and why are you in my family bar?
I'm your grandmother's helicopter pilot, you stupid rich punk. I flew you back from your party-slash-business meeting last night-slash-a couple of hours ago. Remember?
Mrs. Helicopter Pilot, I think if you remember, that's all that matters. And why are you drinking? Aren't you on duty?
Alcohol settles my stomach. Otherwise, I get airsick when I fly. Who wants that?
I suppose that kind of makes sense, but... What did you mean I lack character?
You're vacant. If you wore a suit, you'd be an empty suit. I can't be the first one who's ever told you this.
Actually, you're the second one today.
I think you're being too hard on yourself, Wendy.
Or the opposite.
Come on, you're only a little bit pathetic. Look, you've got lots of money, Wendy. No wonder you have so many friends. Your money makes you really fun to be with. And kind of hot.
Bonnie... You know, I don't mind being called Wendell instead. And actually, it's my grandmother's money.
Okay, to be fair, when you put it that way, it does make you a little less hot. But she'll die one day, right? What is she, like 80 now?
56. But a youthful and physically powerful 56.
Well, maybe if you had some skills or native abilities, even a little ambition wouldn't kill you. At least not right away.
Mrs. Helicopter Pilot is right, Wendy. Look at me, for instance. When I'm not mixing you your breakfast cocktails, I'm working as the assistant stage manager for the Lower Heights Community College Theater Department. But one day, I'll be the stage manager, and someone else will be my assistant.
Who? You mean me? I don't have any theater experience. Come to think of it, any experience of any kind. I'd be a terrible assistant.
But you make a terrific idiot. Listen to what Bonnie's telling you.
Don't you see? All my life I've wanted to be the stage manager for the Lower Heights Community College Theater Department. And I'm only one fatal accident from achieving that goal. What do you, Wendy Henderson, want to do with your life?
Well, the first thing I want is for people to start calling me Wendell. And the second is, I don't know. I guess, a superhero? I want to be a superhero.
Have you considered that you lack any and all qualifications for the position as superhero?
I have. Hence the habit of breakfast cocktails.
My sense is that you also lack concern for the well-being of others. Suddenly, because it's Thursday, you want to help people?
It's still Thursday? Thank goodness. I still have time.
What's so important about Thursday?
My Grandma Charlie told me I had until the end of the week to make something of myself.
Maybe one more martini for the road, eh, Bonnie?
No, wait. We can do this. Wendy, what superpower do you want?
I don't know. I thought maybe flight? I'd like to fly.
We can do this. With my powers of stagecraft and Mrs. Helicopter Pilot's ability to fly a helicopter, you can become Lower Height's newest superhero / media sensation. We'll call you Sky High Man.
That's all the time we have now for Sky High Man, the origin story, part one. Tune in next time when we'll hear young Wendell say...
You know, because I'm suspended by wires from the helicopter in this harness, I can't actually enter this burning building to save anyone.
Is your work life like a daily glass of sun-warm tap water? No? Well, good for you. Really, good for you. Now listen to Men in Charge and stop acting so pleased with yourself.
Live from Cincinnati, USA, I am Didier Vandage, your host for Disgruntled Belgian Talk Radio, where I allow you, the listeners, to hear me explain American mistakes in food, culture, politics, and beer. Today is a beautiful day on this, my radio show. I feel a fresh new contempt for the American cultural scene rising in me like a Belgian eagle soaring into a rain cloud with a newly killed rabbit in its talons. I think I will broil the rabbit after it lies for a week in a marinade of white table wine and the bristles of a champion sow.
Didier, you have not only bewildered your listeners with that image, you've repulsed them. Perhaps you'd like to try opening the show again, this time a little less revoltingly?
Who are you? Who is this talking?
Didier, do we have to do this every episode? I'm Jamie, the engineer, right in front of you on the other side of this window. I've been your engineer for years. Why? Why do you keep doing this?
I ask in hopes of a different answer, but it is always Jamie, the engineer. Why can it not be a beautiful engineer who finds me handsome, like a clean sidewalk swept clear of cabbage leaves?
Whatever you said, I'm glad I wasn't listening. Anyway, to my ongoing surprise, we have a listener just now calling in. This is Disgruntled Belgian Talk Radio. You're on the air with Didier Vandage.
Hello?
Who is this? Why do you call me on this, my radio show?
I can't give you my name, for security reasons. All I can tell you is that I'm the president's son-in-law.
So you are, therefore, the Jared Kushner, he of the high, weak voice?
I can't confirm that.
But we, your unfortunate listeners, can confirm it.
Well...
Your voice is too high and thin, Jared Kushner. Do you sip diet soda all the day long? Do you sit down to a bowl of white cake frosting for dinner? That is the high voice food for pale, indoor people like yourself.
No, I don't. Or at least not every day.
Stop talking, spoiled boy. You are like a mosquito that whines and whines and will not die when I slap at it. What do you want, Jared Kushner?
My goodness, but you're rude. If Ivanka heard you, she'd give you such a piece of her mind that...
Ivanka, yes. Tell her to call me Jared Kushner.
I am here in Cincinnati, USA, at the radio station, all alone, at all hours of the nighttime, lying sleeplessly on my miserable cot in the record library.
The cot wouldn't be so miserable, DDA, if you washed the sheets occasionally.
Who is this? Who is talking now?
It's me, Jamie the engineer. The person you're looking at through the studio window, you turtle-lipped little Belgian. So just stop with the, who is this? Who is talking now? Nonsense, okay?
May I talk now?
What? Are you still on the line, moist child? You are not a welcome caller, Jared Kushner.
I wish you'd stop using my name.
So you admit that you are the weak-chinned, high-voiced Jared Kushner, Jared Kushner?
I'm not admitting anything. Just stop using my name.
And what is this name of yours I am using, exactly?
Jared Kush... Hey, don't try to trick me.
Very well, Jared Kushner. I weary of dangling shiny treats in front of you. A feral kitten calling on my show with your high, weak voice. What do you want from me, Jared Kushner?
I called because you know about Europe-y things. I need you to help me with the Middle East. My father-in-law, who happens to be the President of the United States, wants me to bring Middle East peace and oil revenue into the family business. Since I didn't do very well in school, and don't know anything about history, economics, language, or diplomacy, and the European countries know all about those things, you can maybe help me win Middle East peace and make money for Ivanka's dad.
But why not call your Russian friends for help, Jared Kushner? Surely they have the time to waste with an arrogant little beetle such as you.
I have no idea what Russian friends you're talking about, DDA. But anyway, I did call them. They told me they were no longer at that number I was calling. And there was laughing in the background.
Jamie the Engineer, do not laugh at Jared Kushner. This is not the Jamie the Engineer show. I will do the laughing at Jared Kushner.
Stop it. Just tell me what to do.
All right. I will help you, Jared Kushner, for a price. Tell Ivanka to call me on this, my radio show. We will chat, and I will charm her with my sly Belgian ways. When Ivanka is fully charmed, I will then give her wiring instructions for her to send me 10,000 euro.
And then you'll tell me what to do about Middle East peace and the oil revenue?
Perhaps. It will depend on how favorable is the exchange rate.
Okay. I guess I'll take that as a yes.
If you wish, little one. Now goodbye.
Actually, I think that went very well, DDA.
Indeed, yes, Jamie the Engineer. You were clever to notice. Perhaps I will remember you next time. But now, listeners of America, I must drive the mice from my sheets with another fresh spray of Belgian cologne, so I sign myself off until tomorrow. Female listeners, call and leave suggestive messages for me. And men listeners, do not call. Just do not. But remember, Belgium is the largest country in its region, and thus it must be admired for its irritable force and garlic. Do not trifle with us.
Well, Kevin, I think it's time to thank our cast. So why don't I do that? We would like to thank Rowan Flynn, Kevin Decker, Tony Flynn, Jody Stewart Strobelt, Nicholas Strobelt, Stephen Lloyd, Mimi Marinucci, Betsy Lawrence, and...
We would also like to thank the three wise men of Queens, New York, Vern... We would also like to thank the three wise men of Queens, New York, Vern Wyndham, Carrie Boyce, and the three-time runner-up of Scotland, Minnesota's Lowland Games, Brian Lindsay.
Charge!